The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653. 4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
At Doc Thompson Show on Twitter with the hashtag What I Learned Today from World of Spots TMB number 42. The Alamo doesn't have a basement.
Who knew? There's no Alamo. Basement? I mean, there's no basement in the Alamo.
Wait a minute, what? There's no basement in the Alamo? Sorry, all questions must be submitted at the end. Cal's Lawnmower tweeting. No truth to the rumor that real Chris Cruz is moving back to Florida and joining the police academy.
Done that.
He's already a cop. We got to get the hashtag no truth to the rumor. We got to use that again because we've used that in the past. We should use that again. It's a good way for us to mock people. Okay, get him in. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz. Joining us now is Martin Lindstrom, author of Small Data, the tiny clues that uncover huge trends. How are you, Martin?
I'm fantastic, and you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Love the idea of trends and being able to predict some things based on some things that are happening now. So tell me a little bit about your book.
Well, it's crazy. What is happening is that we have become so obsessed with technology these days that we really forget about being human. I just want to give you an example here. Are you the type of person when you sit at home and you use your remote control and it's flat for battery, then you are the type of person squeezing extra hard to get the last drop of battery out of it?
Yeah, and then shaking it and twisting it and moving
it out, put it back in, switch spaces. Exactly.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Yeah.
Listen. 85% of everything we do every day is deeply irrational. And what my book is all about, Small Data, is all about understanding what I define as seemingly insignificant observations we make in our lives, things which make a huge impact. So what I basically did was to travel around the world and move in and spend time with more than 2,000 consumers' homes across 77 countries over the last decade to understand how we live, how we place our shoes, how we brush our teeth, and what it means for who we really are as people. And of course, in the end of the day, I was then linking together with how we can turn around brands or change the world.
That's really interesting, and I've been fascinated by this in the past. And I see one of the things you mentioned is a worn-out pair of sneakers was the unexpected clue that led to Lego's recent historic turnaround, because they had some hard times, and now they've kind of turned the company around.
Absolutely. You know, in 2002, Lego was close to bankruptcy, and what happened was that the Lego company was obsessed with big data. They thought that the instant gratification generation had arrived, and because of that, they changed the size of those tiny bricks to gigantic building blocks. These kids could build a castle in a matter of minutes rather than hours. Now, what happens was, at Christmas 2002, this down 31%. And as a consequence, the company was close to bankruptcy. So this small outbreaker group decides to move into the home of a 12-year-old kid. And they basically say to this kid, "What are you most proud of?" as they meet him in his bedroom. And the kid is replying back and saying, "I'm most proud of those ones." And he points at an old worn-down pair of sneakers standing on the shelf in his bedroom. And of course, this team from Lego is completely puzzled around that because they expected him to reply, you know, Nintendo Station or Sony or something like that, but he didn't. So of course, they ask him why. And he replies back, listen, I'm the best skater in town. But for me to prove that, I need some evidence. You see, when I'm a good skater, you slide down the skateboard at a certain angle. And exactly at that angle, it's creating a certain wear and tear on the side of my sole. And that is my evidence that I'm number one in town. And that was the moment where Lego woke up. And the reason why was because they realized that we're just witnessing a revolution. You see, if a kid is prepared to spend hundreds, if not thousands of hours of fine-tuning the angle of a wear and tear on the shoe, why wouldn't the kid spend hundreds or if not thousands of hours of playing with Legos? So Lego really went back to the drawing board. They changed the size of those gigantic building blocks and introduced small bricks again. And that was really the beginning of the Lego movie as well. They created alliances with Harry Potter and Star Wars. And I guess the rest is history. Today, Lego is not only the biggest toy brand in the world, they also recently were announced to be the biggest brand in the world. And all of that happened because of a Warner.
That's an incredible story and their success now since then. Yeah, you're right. I could see how you'd say, okay, let's do some bigger blocks. It could be faster. It could be, you know, and that's what we a lot of us believed, especially, you know, 2000, 2005, right through there, that it's faster, faster, faster because technology is moving faster. But you're right. With a toy like that, it's something you want to invest the time in. You want to put in some hours creating.
I think the issue is that we're not present anymore. Let me just ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing you're touching when you wake up in the morning?
What is the first thing I'm thinking?
Touching?
Touching. Oh, touching. My phone.
Me too. My phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Listen, here's the issue. We're at work in bed. I mean, I don't need to tell you that the bed is designed for two purposes, not three purposes, right?
It's not work when I'm in bed, Martin. Let me tell you about that.
So here's what's happening. You know, we're at work in bed. We're at work when they go to the bathroom. I'm going to tell you a crazy story. We did a recent study in New York City where we were testing young kids between the age of 12 and 15 years of age. And listen to this, Doc. This is crazy. One third of these young kids are on the phone when they're in the shower. Right? They're on the phone when you're having breakfast, we're on the phone doing work, on the way to work, and at work, we're doing private stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we have no transformation in our lives anymore. And the best way for me to illustrate that is really when you go to a bar, I bet you are like me. We're sitting in the bar, we're waiting for someone to show up. And what do? We grab our phone
mm-hmm.
and we do something, anything with it so we don't look like a complete loser, right? Now, here's the three consequences of doing that. First, we don't meet anyone. You know, I was just spending some time in a bar in New York City the other day, and I spoke to the bartender. He told me, we never talk to our guests anymore because they're so busy on the phone. Number two, which is even worse, we don't see anything. But the worst thing is that we never get bored anymore. And boredom is the foundation for having that space you need to be creative. And that means creativity is disappearing. So technology is amazing. Yes, I think we all get that point. But the reality is right now that we are not present anymore. When was the last time you were present? Because that is generating the creativity. So what small data is all about is to make us become present. So we first of all basically recover our creativity. It is for us to meet and see things around us to create a point of differentiation and build powerful brands or change things around ourselves. And I think it's desperately needed in a world where we all more or less are bumping into each other these days because we're just not looking up anymore.
You know what? I think you're right. And boredom may actually not even be the best way to describe it, at least for me. I have two times when I'm most creative. Number one is kind of uncontrollable, is that when I'm in a twilight sleep, when I'm just waking up in the morning, if I don't have to get right up, you know, maybe it's a weekend where I got, you know, 20 minutes to kind of wake up slowly and I'm kind of in and out of sleep. I guess it's because my mind is clear and that's when I get creative inspiration. The other time is when I, in a calculated way, have a problem to solve and it needs to be creative, or I'm writing something. and I will get up from my computer and I will just walk down the hall, stare out the window a moment, and just kind of let my thoughts go. And I've done this for years. That's and usually it's not an hour. It's 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I got an idea. And then I go and do.
Do you know what's funny? You're saying it. There's two things happening here. First of all, have you noticed how we always walk around in small circles when we're on our cell phone?
No, yeah.
It just shows our human behavior. The reason why is actually because we disconnected through our other senses. So we try desperately to connect into other channels, but we can't subconsciously. Remember, 85% of everything we do every day is subconscious. But the second thing I want to tell you, which is crazy, and it may be you can't resonate with this, but I think a lot of your listeners can. I call it the water moment. You know, when I want to be creative, I jump into the pool. And I swim. And most of my book, actually, I wrote in the pool. Some people are in the shower. Some people are running. Some people are sitting in the car. But we have this moment where we allow time to be free-floating, to reflect on life. Now, we don't allow that time anymore because we rationally feel we are unproductive. So you need to make appointments with yourself. You need to say, what is the time I should use to reflect on things? So it's almost like you are defragmenting your computer, so to speak. It's just your brain instead. It just makes sense.
No, it does absolutely. I think what it is, it's when you let when you stop controlling your mind and you let those subconscious things just kind of filter back and forth. You know, too often we're like, I've got to do this, and you're focused hard. You know, pushing down on this problem, whatever, as opposed to just letting it all just kind of arrive.
You think at some point your mind naturally brings up to the surface the most creative or most important part of what you're trying to solve?
We've had this thing, Martin, for years. People have tried to bridge or break the barrier between conscious and subconscious. I mean, that's what even some people that took LSD and stuff did. So there's some answer in there, right? I mean, the breaking of that wall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the issue right now. We need to come to terms with the fact that we are human beings, and I think we're forgetting it. So all these big data are great. I'll give you an example. I mean, a major bank in the U.S. just recently concluded that the reason why they had such a big churn, so people just moving around with accounts and closing accounts, was because they're unhappy with the bank. So the bank decided to send out direct mails to basically, you know, offer them, you know, better interest rate and lower fees. Just before they send out those direct mail, one clever guy in the bank said, hey, why don't we talk to our customers? So they did that. They spent time in their homes, and they realized the reason why the majority of these customers were leaving the bank was, in fact, because they were undergoing a divorce. So they had to separate their accounts, and they both had to leave. And I think we live in a world right now a little bit where we become, you know, we become too focused on the data, believing this has the real answer. I mean, a good example was back in 2012, where Google, in fact, were able to predict the flu outbreak. I'm sure you recall that study. It was a major study in the U.S. where they, within 4 or 5 days before a flu break would happen, could predict it based on our search inquiry.
Wow.
Now, what just happened recently was really interesting. Google was completely wrong. The Center of Disease Control in the U.S. went back to the data and realized that the consumers, they were typing in those search inquiries, but because they're typing them in, other people got curious and they were typing it in as well, and suddenly that became viral in its own right. So the numbers were twice of what they should have been. So Google looked more about the correlation than the causation, the reason why. Now, small data is all about the causation. It's finding the reason why things are happening, the deep inner insight, and then you can correlate that and verify that by using data. I think we have come to a world now where we're looking so much about correlations, but we forget about the causation, the reason why things are happening, which, by the way, explains the reason why no one was able to predict Trump when he broke through. Now, we had a team traveling around the U.S., and we saw the small data. And we noticed the writing on the wall. It was fascinating to see how that insight was completely overseen by the majority of the press. And it's not to take side of either of the camps.
No.
They sometimes become blind. Simply become blind here, right?
We know things that aren't really true. And sometimes we want certain things or want to believe them, not necessarily because we wanted an outcome, but we just expected things to happen. The book is Small Data, the Tiny Clues That Uncover Huge Trends. Martin Lindstrom. Is it martinlindstrom.com?
It is martinlindstrom.com. You can find me on facebook.com/martinlindstrom or #martinlindstrom. And that's, of course, on Twitter.
Really good stuff. So we'll tweet out a link to that stuff, Martin, and we hope to have you back at some point, okay?
Fantastic. Good to hear you, Wes, and happy search for those small data.
Thank you, sir. Martin Lindstrom. Love it, love it, love it. I love stuff like that.
Fascinating stuff.
It's fascinating, first of all, just as an observer. Wow, that's really cool. But you can also really use that stuff.
You can learn, absolutely.
When we talk about our entrepreneur stuff, you don't have to have the billion-dollar idea here. You read a book like this, and there's some other similar type books or whatever. Mm-hmm. This seems really good. You may just get the one that gives you a little supplemental income. You know, $2,500 extra a month.
Yeah.
Wow, absolutely. That's great. You know, an extra $30,000 to your kid's college fund. Maybe whatever. I mean, that's really cool stuff.
And a big takeaway, I think, is things happen for reasons that you may not think they are, like trends. Like, for example, the whole, like, the bank example he gave. All these people were closing their banks and leaving. The bank thought people were unhappy. In reality, people were getting divorced.
They had a need.
They had to close the accounts down because
That's also an opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you know what I mean about what we believe things that aren't true? You know, that we want to believe. People wanted to believe that Hillary was going to do this, not because they wanted Hillary. Maybe it's just the opposite. You're like, oh, we've been screwed for so long. I'm going to get screwed again. Mm-hmm. You just believe things or know things that aren't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Got to tell you about a great company. It's Brick House Nutrition. They have a product called Dawn to Dusk that both Chris Cruz and Cal have tried for a while. They are absolutely in love with it. It's an extended-release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain. Chris has a problem crashing in the afternoon on my floor, so I'm thrilled with the product that he's taking it. Cal has a problem because he has the kid and the wife to go home to, so he hits the wall.
He doesn't drink coffee.
And I don't drink coffee. Anything that'll give me a boost of energy when in the middle of the day, especially when it's not caffeine related, I'm on it. This stuff is great.
Right, and this is slow release, so it's not an up and a down. No, for
exactly,
you guys.
And it has some interesting things because when you usually take caffeine pills, you feel jitter.
Yeah,
right. There's no jittery.
You get the shakes.
There's no energy. There's no jitters. I'm telling you, I forgot to take it that one day. I literally crashed horribly.
I know.
It lasts up to 10 hours, and I'm literally loving this product.
So, yeah, with the other stuff, it's you get that huge impact, right? And then it slow fades off or whatever. So if you need that extra energy later in the day, you got to take more or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is something that just gives you that extra pick-me-up all day. It's called Dawn to Dusk from Brick House Nutrition. And if you want to try it, they're even going to give you a 15% off your first order. Go to brickhousedoc.com. Brickhouse, D-O-C, my name, doc.com, and use the code D-O-C when you check out. So you order, it'll ask you for a promotional code, enter D-O-C. So brickhousedoc.com, promo code D-O-C. This is...
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
TMB Anonymous Source. Hashtag what I learned today. When at real Chris Cruz says he's literally loving Dawn to Dusk, I get concerned and grossed out.
Oh, God.
I think you mean figuratively. Although.
Here we go again.
Although. Literally now means figuratively as well.
Makes no sense.
I know. So many people, and this is frustrating for me when I hear stuff like this. There was literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
I figuratively could eat a cow.
That doesn't mean that you can actually eat a cow.
An entire cow right now.
But literally you can actually eat a whole cow.
I'm figuratively as strong as an ox. Literally, I am not. Okay? These are the types of things. There's the difference. But so many people have gotten literally as a crutch that they just say, I literally could do this. Literally, you hear people, especially younger generations.
Right, they don't know the...
That now the dictionary reflects that literally can also mean figuratively.
So they change the rules of grammar because people are stupid? That's what it is?
That's exactly what they do. Now, that's frustrating, right?
Yes, very
much
so.
It's annoying. The problem? All of the stuff that we know as the current rules of grammar before they did that, or rules of speech, English, got that way by people changing the rules.
That's
meanings true. Meanings of words. Gay is a good example, obviously, right? Gay's for a happy. Meaning of right. word. Now it means
Chris
whatever.
Cruz is very gay.
I'm always gay.
Right.
Very gay. Extremely gay.
And very homosexual. Both. But that's very different. So these things change. Even grammar. I mean, if you look back a couple hundred years ago, we do things very like that's acceptable now. I know it's frustrating. It's annoying. It's whatever. You feel like you're dumbing it down. But the thing that you think is acceptable and good and highbrow, that is dumbed down.
Because then you can't. How do you have rules and know what grammar is if people just keep changing whenever someone
that's language
whenever
that's
the trends
speech. That's
grow.
How it is. I know it's frustrating, but that's just what it is.
So I can just start saying, "Hey, that you know what? Stupid that is. Stupid that is." Say that enough times, everybody can change it.
Dude, that's coming. Trust me.
Coming. It is.
I got a story about that coming up in a minute too.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Trying the new tea from American Pride Roasters Coffee.
We did. We tried it. Very good. Well, I already tried it. Did you just try it?
No, I tried it before, but I'm trying some again this morning.
Yeah.
This is really good.
By the way, love the berries.
Yeah, I have there's a fail though.
Uh-oh.
This is
Are you sure you want to put this on the air?
No, I mean, it's kind of a good fail.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. In that they've done really well. American Pride Roasters Coffee, which is the official coffee of the Morning Blaze, a great job with coffee. The tea is really good. There's only one flavor, which is good.
Oh, yes.
I'm just
yes.
saying I would like to see some other things. Based on their success, it's almost like, when a new cereal line or a new candy mm-hmm. bar or a new flavor, where you're like, I want to see what they
a
come
new
up
burger.
With next.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. A lot of times the fruity teas are weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy, the apple tea or the blueberry tea or whatever. They always end up kind of like sour. And I don't drink with any sugar or anything in my tea.
No, you drink everything
drink straight
up.
Right. But they end up kind of sour and it's like kind of novelty. This is just a really nice flavor. So check it out. And also try the great coffees at AmericanPrideRoasters.com.
Can I send a suggestion? Is that okay? Or will he get hurt?
I don't know. Depends on what it is.
I suggest some green tea.
Green tea would be really cool. That would be, because I enjoy the green tea.
I love the green tea.
Green tea is super healthy, by the way.
Or maybe some black tea. I love the black tea as well.
Which I think the white, the black, and the green teas are all from the same
brand.
Tea.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
when they pick the leaf. Mm-hmm. But they're all uber. One of the healthiest things, if you look at any of the lists, the best things for cancer, the best thing for weight loss, the best top 10 things for this, food wise, green tea's on
green
every damn
list. Green tea is on all of them.
It is uber healthy.
Lipton. Made a whole side that just contained green tea, and they just
like
add
green
lemon.
Tea, cinnamon
exactly.
Or so yeah, try it. AmericanPrideRoasters.com and try it, and I'm sure they've.
You
got
You gonna tweet out a link
there.
About it?
Maybe you can do that.
Okay,
you can do that, and I'll retweet you out there. Coming up next week, I will be guest hosting on the Glenn Beck Radio Program.
Whoa! Wait, what?
We're off for Memorial Day.
We
which
are
is Monday.
Wait
yes.
a minute. You never told me this.
Perhaps I should rephrase that.
Okay.
I'm off for Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. Because
the
radio
show,
station's still on Memorial
it is,
Day.
Yeah. The show is taking a hiatus.
Okay.
And Glenn's show as well. But
okay.
You still have to be here. There's nothing to do, but you have
okay.
to come in.
And what do I do with my hands?
Just you keep them so everybody can see them.
Okay.
So that's Monday. But then Tuesday through Friday, 4 straight days of Doc Thompson on the Glenn Beck Radio Program.
Just you?
I Yeah, maybe an appearance by Chris Cruz.
I'm invited.
Other people, possibly.
On the TV or behind the scenes? Because last time I was on the TV, a lot of made fun of my shirt. It was
very make funnable.
Yes, it was.
It really was. So,
and I would call homotype sexual because we're very colorful.
I'm working on a couple of little gems for the Glenn Beck program.
Ooh, like special guests? Oh, am I saying too much?
No, I got something else I'm planning. I got a couple of tricks up my sleeve, which our audience who appreciate... the edgy satirical.
Oh, yes, we're doing that. Yes. Oh, okay. Now I know what you're saying. Okay,
I got a couple things I'm working on. Yes. Hopefully they'll pan out. Glenn Beck's program is programming note for you all next week. Of course, we'll still be on the air Tuesday through Friday on this program as well. So you get 6 hours back to back of this show. That's all next week. Quick shout out to the Cleveland Cavaliers, too. Hometown for me. They're going to the finals. And somebody tweeted me overnight. They're like, Doc, better give a little shout out to the Cavs.
Rewind.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
The NBA, the basketball.
Oh, you can just throw stuff like that.
Well, I don't follow sports so well, but
me neither.
You know, they're the champs from last year, and it took forever for Cleveland to get a national championship again since the 60s. And I always appreciate seeing Cleveland do well.
That's good.
But here's the failure.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Cleveland, who is always takes it right up to the end, and then you failed. We're so close. We're two outs away from winning the World Series. Fail. Red right 88. The kick, the drive, the fumble, the shot. These are all names of failures of theirs, Chris, right? They've gotten cocky.
Oh, that's not good.
I don't remember who it was that tweeted me over the night. Doc, better give a shout out to the Cavs or whatever. And I'm like, they're going to the finals. We've been to the finals all kinds of times.
Yeah, don't get too cocky now.
Right, you think you're automatically going to win it. As a true Cleveland fan, I say, maybe you wait till you show me that you're actually a champ.
When you're holding the trophy.
That's what I'm saying.
That is when you celebrate.
Because we should have won the World Series last year,
what
too.
What happened?
The Cubs.
No, but what happened?
We were up 3-1.
Okay.
3-1. What happened? Cleveland happened. So, good job, but as if you're a true Cleveland fan, you'd be saying, maybe we wait a little while.
Let's wait till we hold the trophy.
See what happened
actually,
here.
You know what? Let's wait till we hold the trophy and a week after.
To make sure there's no objection.
Sure there's no penalties.
By the way, I'm waiting to see who wins this year to make sure we actually won last year.
A whole year for them to come up with something. Is there still some gray area on that?
For Cleveland, they'll come up with something. They're technically you won 20 years ago, but we found a discrepancy. We're going to have to take that trophy for
you. The last shot, the foot.
Sorry,
the foot was aiming to the east. It was supposed to aim to the west.
All of those away, all of those victories. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they win it for hometown.
Yeah. Can I say who's going to be with you on Friday next week on the Glenn Beck program?
I don't think you should. I think you keep that one a secret.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you followed that after the Cavs, so people are going,
I know.
Is it? I'm just going to stop right there.
Okay.
I'm just going to cat out of the bag right there.
No.
Hey, got an update for you on what's going on with the Manchester terror attacks. They've arrested more people overnight.
They have.
I got to give England credit here. They're at least arresting a lot of people. Maybe they have nothing to do with the attack. Maybe this is just show, but it looks like they're doing
something.
Lot. And from the looks of who they're arresting and some of the background, it looks like they're right. So here's the update. 22 victims, 21 of the 22 have been now named. There's still one unnamed person of the people who were killed in the attack. An off-duty Cheshire police officer was named among the dead. Of the 116 people injured
that
lived, 75 still in the hospital.
Yeah, one of the news, and I saw them on TV, so sad. These parents, they have a daughter in the hospital. The doctor is trying to wake her.
She won't wake up.
She won't wake up.
Mm-hmm. 23 of the 75 still in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Critical condition.
Wow.
Still, 23.
Wow.
If you were a betting person and wanted to bet on something inappropriate.
This is it. Number's going to go high.
It looks like those 22 victims.
We are 23 dead.
22 dead right
22
now.
22 dead.
That will likely climb.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 23 in critical care, 5 of them are children.
Yeah, I saw that.
In critical care.
I saw that.
Horrible. Now, this guy, this dirtbag, who did this, there are claims that he may have done this because of America's involvement in the Middle East and... let's say the West in general, America, the West. and our bombing of places in Syria, for example, or Libya.
They're always connected to that somehow.
And specifically children. Mm. That maybe he was upset because he had saw, seen Americans bombing.
A bomb, yeah.
And yeah, we've killed children.
Yeah, that is true.
That has happened.
Casualties is, that is one of the things that happen when you're in war.
We will never get beyond this if that's your attitude.
Oh,
that's
no.
What you're thinking.
No, mm-mm.
This, America is not playing or should not be playing. The West should not be playing a tit for tat. This is not a, oh yeah, well then we're going to bomb you. That's not what we're doing here. Mm-mm. We are actually trying to, and in many cases have, saved a lot of people. You know what? In World War II, some children died because of Allied bombing. Some children died in Japan.
Oh yeah.
A lot of kids died. Do you know how many people America and the Allied forces saved? Immediately during the World War II era, and how many people were saved in the decades following because we took out some of those dirtbags and liberated people? Unfortunately, in war, which most of the time America has not said, hey, let's be the aggressor here. Most of the time, we've not done that, yet people die. Children die sometimes. This guy thinks it's a tit for tat. Unfortunately. I don't know if there's any way to convince these knuckleheads it's not, because according to people who knew this kid, he was a drug user, both pots, alcohol. He was not pious. He was out partying. He was violent. And they said he was not bright.
Yeah.
The people who knew him said, no, this kid was not smart.
Mm-hmm.
The one friend said, let me make sure I get it right here. They asked, about his studies and how smart. And they said, no, he was not. And they said, if you found out that he was, had really IQ or whatever, and would you believe? And they're like, 100%. Absolutely. This kid just was not smart. So what's happening here is you've got people like him who cannot process all of this information, who are so upset by the emotion. Remember, we always talk about emotion, people on the left. Folks, this stuff isn't easy. Emotion is easy. I'm pissed. I'm upset. Look at the children dead. Something must be done. And then something heinous. Most of the world is nuanced. Yeah, sometimes people should be acting and they don't, and they take their time and you're frustrated. But it's nuanced. It's not as simple as saying, kids died because of the West bombing. We just bombed more in Syria.
Yes, we did.
Some children died, by the way.
Yeah.
And I saw headlines of people trying to put that in the headline because we're pissed at what happened in Manchester. It is not the same.
No, it's not.
In Egypt, they opened up, we just had breaking news this morning. Dozens of people killed, 36 of them killed when somebody opened, a couple of people opened fire on a bus full of Coptic
Christians.
This is
old school mobster kind of killing.
And that's what we have here. Simple people, people who are brainwashed. This is not your traditional terror cells. It is, but think of it more like the mob. Think of this more like gangs. It's the same mentality.
It is. And that's one of the things that we treated them, like, oh, listen, no. You treat them like the mob. They're treating us like crap right now. Well, they're treating the whole West world like crap right now. They just be like, boom, we're going to kill you no matter what.
So when you hear all this stuff all weekend long, I wish you'd do something. I wish you'd take a moment and remember what this weekend is, Memorial Day, and say, while we're thinking about all that terrorism, guess what? There are a whole lot of people that have kept you safe by giving up their life. Memorial Day, although it's nice to honor veterans, is not about veterans. It's about the veterans, the people who died in service to America, paying the ultimate price. That's Monday. Just take a moment and say, thank you, in your own way. This is The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Got to tell you about Relief Factor, the all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. I take it for my sciatica when it flares up, but a lot of people take it for their chronic pain, something that's been with them forever. If you have chronic pain, if you know somebody that has chronic pain, why not try it? It's only $19.95 for a three-week quick start pack that'll let you know if it works for you. Most people, though, if they say, it didn't work for... it's because they only tried it a day or two. It's going to take you 7 to 10 days to make sure it's working for you. Just call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or go to relieffactor.com to get your three-week quick start pack.
Can't go wrong.
No, most chronic pain is because of inflammation in the body. And unfortunately, most people end up on narcotics to try to mask it. Don't mask it. Get the inflammation to go
attack
away.
Attack the source. It's the inflammation. That's what you want to get rid of.
And you'll also get rid of the pain. 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. All righty. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. The end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, where's the music?
Is the fader up? Turn the fader up.
There we go.
Well, there we go.
Pro criminal tip number 1512. Your lawn mowing biz should avoid the home of the person you stole the lawnmower from.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah, you don't want to steal from the guy you're mowing.
We learned if Chris Cruz ever finds $7,000, he will promptly turn in all $2,500.
Every single one of them. Every single one.
By that, I mean he'll quickly turn in all $1,500.
Yep.
Here's your $700.
Here's your $20.
We learned when rolling out the welcoming effing mat for the new sheriff, he will then reciprocate by rolling out the effing welcoming mat to you at his jail. And we learn goat yoga is Cal's new restaurant / workout program. Cal, spin of the Niles radio style, Dallas Tech Sporting. What have anything you learned today?
I learned Glenn Beck wears his World War II memorabilia and Nazi uniform only on Nazi Fridays.
Only, not the rest of the time.
Yeah, he's only one that participates,
weirdly
enough. It only
comes out on Nazi Fridays. I learned Chris is a radical Puerto Rican forcing his food on me.
I thought we'd gotten over this.
He brings it up. I'm over
this
it.
Sounds like he was over. You're poking him in the eye. Yeah,
I had to learn something. Wow. That was one thing. Right. I learned that while campaigning, all officials running for office should have a 3-round feats of strength.
Yes, they should.
That's part of it. It's
Chris Cruz, what have anything the listeners learned today?
The bearded patriot, gotta love when the brain dead TMB call outs your grammar mistakes.
I know, yeah, because I have them all the time.
World of Spock CMB number 2. Did Doc Thompson just literally out Chris Cruz as gay? No worries, Doc. We all knew that already.
Gay isn't happy. Either. Gay isn't
happy.
Yeah,
I'm always gay.
And homosexual.
Yeah. What? Homeward bound. Yoda and Forrest Gump are making our grammar rules now.
They are. I forgot to tell the grammar rule mistake.
Are they?
You know what?
Yes.
I just realized I forgot to tell the grammar rule mistake.
You also forgot.
I'm just forgetting so much, and I forgot the rules on procrastination. I'll do them Tuesday. We're off on Monday. What else do we have coming up on Tuesday?
Oh, well, Monday is a day off. It is laborious, and
we just said Tuesday.
What does Glenn have coming up on his show following?
Coming up in hour two, Bill O'Reilly.
Good.
Every Friday, Bill O'Reilly joins.
What is Glenn wearing today?
A Coke and a smile.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't seen him yet.
Actually, a Perrier and a smile.
Remember the Morning Blaze today, Chris Cruz production. Six Emperor Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anya, now you go home.
Oh, he's just walking in.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hey, boss.
Hey, boss.
Looking great. Looking great.
The Blaze Radio Network.